Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Hey everyone, it's the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. I'm Zach Natto, with me is Eric Fox. Unfortunately, we're without Kellen and Lita this week once again, but we've got no shortage of awesome news to talk about in the world of sports. We're going to be starting with our Atletico Ottawa team. Now, Eric, we've got some good news and we've got some bad news about the team. What should we start with first?
Let's just start with ripping off the Band-Aid and get the bad news out of the way. So it was just announced yesterday on Wednesday, ahead of the kickoff on the weekend for their season with the bubble in Winnipeg. Atletico Ottawa has agreed to part ways with Bernardinho, as well as announcing that Jordan Webb won't play in the Winnipeg bubble. So two huge, huge changes for the team. Bernardinho apparently is just due to visa issues related to the COVID-19 pandemic, trying to get the Ghanaian attacker from joining up with the squad for the second season in a row, unfortunately. So it's unfortunate that he still can't make it in and still can't play. And then in regards to Jordan Webb, they've announced that he won't be playing in Winnipeg in the bubble, but there's still a chance that he may play the rest of the season if they do get to play in their home stadium at some point. So just a quick wrap up of the roster that is ready. It was released yesterday for the kickoff in Winnipeg. We have Dylan Pauly, Drew Becky, Milovan Kapor, Brandon John, Viti Martinez, Chris Minella, Ryan Telfer, Ben McKendry, Sean Lawson, Alberto Soto, Antoine Coupland, Theodore Obadal, Brian Wright, Zach Verhoeven, Miguel Acosta, Tevin Shaw, Malcolm Shaw, Rafael Nunez, and Keishan Fernandinho, and last but not least, Vachon Neufville. So there is your roster for Atletico Ottawa. The kickoff is this weekend. So let's get into the good news. You want to cover that there, Zach? We have another signing ahead of these two players being dropped.
Absolutely. We signed another guy on loan from Atletico de Madrid. He's 20 years old and his name's Alberto Soto. He's from Atletico de Madrid, their B team. He's appeared in 5 matches internationally for the Spanish U20 team, and he's even scored in one of those games. So they're really focusing on the fact that he's a really offensively minded player. He's technically strong for being so young. Everybody seems to be excited about this guy. You know, he has an eye for scoring goals. I think he's going to be a great asset for the team. He's going to bring a really big energy and some experience too for being so young. He's been playing since, I think it's 2017. So he's got some good experience.
Yeah, it's definitely going to help. I mean, especially knowing that they had to part ways with two players, that is going to be a nice addition to the team just to kind of round out the roster. Now, just quickly wrapping up the Atletico Ottawa story, we do have, as we mentioned, the opening game of the season in the kickoff, the start that they're having, the bubble in Winnipeg, Saturday, June 26th. 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Winnipeg time, FC Edmonton versus Atletico Ottawa. I am pumped for this game. I am ready to watch Atletico Ottawa play a game again. And I can't wait to get back into TD Play Stadium and watch them live later this summer.
But we got some more local sports to talk about. The Ottawa Blackjacks are going to be starting their season in game one tonight against the Niagara River Lions. What's a River Lion? I'm not sure, but I'm super pumped for this game tonight. I know all the players are as well. Opening the season off at home is so exciting to me, and the fact that we get to play 3 games in a row is even better. I just wish I could be there to see it live. You know, our starting lineup still hasn't been confirmed yet, I don't think, per se. I'm hoping we see our hometown hero, Johnny Berhan-Meskel, in the first 5 on opening night. He's finishing off his season in France with the Nanterre 92 team. So, you know, he's coming in for some fierce competition already. He's already in beast mode. And we're hopefully going to see that when he laces up and hits the court. And Kadri Gray and Tejai Teague, they're getting their starts as rookies. So that's going to be awesome to see, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've had the honor to be able to go and cover some of the training camp so far, wrapping up yesterday, and I know that a bunch of them are ready and willing to play. They want to be able to finally have a chance to play against somebody other than their teammates. The competition has been amazing from the players that I've talked to, the coaches that I've talked to, and yeah, everyone is on the same page. They are ready to start this season tonight at 7 o'clock at TD Place. Check out the CEBL website, cebl.ca. There is a option to be able to stream the games live, so you can watch the games. You might not be able to be there in person, but people can watch the games. This is huge. So we'll see how the team comes out on opening night tonight and see where they go from there.
I'm super excited, but we got plenty more to talk about in terms of basketball and hockey as the playoffs are getting underway here. Don't go away. Stick around. We got some more stuff coming up on the Press Box right here on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
And we are back here on the Press Box. I'm Eric Fox, and with me is Zach Natto. Zach, let's talk about the playoffs, and let's start with the NBA. So what do you think so far after what happened in the semifinals, and what do you think is going to happen here in the conference finals, and who's going to end up in the NBA championship?
Well, I think it's awesome to see the underdogs like the Bucks and the Hawks beat such big teams, you know, the 76ers and the Nets. It's a shame the Nets didn't have Harden and Irving. They were injured. Could have been a different series had they been in. You know, everybody has that argument. I think giving Giannis his chance to go even further here is really good for him. I think the Bucks might be a stronger team depth-wise than the Hawks. We're going to find out on Wednesday night, I guess, and then going forward on to Friday. But and the Suns, I mean, they've continued to impress so far in these playoffs. I honestly think that Suns fan called it when he said Suns in four. We could see it again here against the Clippers. Once again, I think the Suns just have a stronger team depth-wise, and they're starting to get more comfortable playing with them. Both these games have been close, yeah, but I think this team can pull it off, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, the Suns have obviously been a bit of a surprise this year, getting rid of the Lakers in round one and then sweeping the Nuggets in round two. And now they're on track to possibly sweep the Clippers. Like, they're up 2-0 heading into game three tonight. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with the Suns. If they can take that 3-0 lead, I think the Clippers are done for. And I mean, personally, I won't be shocked if it is Phoenix versus Giannis and the Bucks. I think that the Bucks are going to be too strong. They came off the huge 7-game win against Brooklyn, and I know that Atlanta pulled off the huge upset against the Philadelphia 76ers in game 7, but I just think that the Bucks are too strong. Giannis is a beast when he is out on the court. So I really think that the Bucks and the Suns will make it to the NBA Finals. And as for who wins that one, I don't know, but you'll have to stick around for next week's episode, and we'll maybe discuss that. But quickly wrapping up the NBA here, Zach, I know you were kind of hooked on the NBA draft lottery. The Raptors actually had a chance in the draft lottery for the first time in years because they've done so well, made the playoffs and done so well in the playoffs in previous years. What came out with the draft lottery? Where did the Raptors end up, and what were the top like 3 to 5 picks?
Well, the NBA draft back on Tuesday definitely delivered some excitement. The Detroit Pistons walked away with the number one pick. So it's pretty good for them. They definitely need it. The Houston Rockets, after losing Harden, they got number two. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they're a complete joke of a team. Unfortunately, they couldn't get higher, but they got the number three spot. And the Raptors, Eric, climbed all the way from the bottom-ish top 10. That was where we were expected. We got lucky enough to get number four, which is going to be really great for us going forward. I think if we just get this bounce back season underway, we get a nice young gun with the fourth round pick, we could cruise our way back to the championship pretty soon. And I think the only other thing of note in this draft was I was amazed the Golden State Warriors walked away with number 7. That's really good for them getting a top 10 pick with how good their team still is.
Yeah, I mean, the Raptors having a top 5 pick is enormous for them. Because like I said, I mean, they've been playing in the playoffs literally every year for the last X number of years. And to move up and move into the top 5 is just absolutely amazing. It's going to be a huge help for their team going forward. And I really think that the Raptors are going to have a big bounce back year next year. Now, Zach, let's head to you and me, our bread and butter, the NHL playoffs. This year has been absolutely insane. Let's just quickly break down what happened in round 2 and where we sit in round 3 so far.
The Golden Knights and the Canadiens, they play tonight, with the Golden Knights actually facing elimination, surprisingly. The Lightning have continued to play outstandingly. I think they haven't missed a beat. They lost Zach Bogosian. I joke that was their best player, but even after losing him, they're still doing so well. They beat the Islanders 8-0 in their last game. And the last time they scored 8 goals in the playoffs was last year against the Islanders in an 8-2 game. That stat to me was unreal. I think we could see Tampa finish them off. If not Wednesday night, I think it's a big ask for the Islanders to win 2 in a row against Tampa at this point. What do you think?
I'm really pulling for the Islanders. I know that the Nassau Coliseum is going to be rocking what could be potentially the final game ever played at that arena. Game 6 Wednesday night after we recorded this episode. So we aren't future tellers. We don't know what happened by the time this airs on Thursday. But I'm really pulling for the Islanders. If they do lose, it's unfortunate, but I'm hoping that they don't put up another 8-0 stinker in their final home game in front of their fans. That barn is going to be rocking. I'm hoping that they pull it off, but going back to Tampa again to try and win that series on the road in game 7 is going to be really, really tough. Now, as for the Vegas and Montreal series, I fully went into this series thinking that Vegas was going to handle the Habs no problem whatsoever. I figured it might have been a sweep or like 5 games, if that. Montreal has surprised me. I'm not jumping on the Montreal bandwagon. I can't do that as a Sens fan or even a Jets fan for that matter. I just can't cheer for Montreal. If they do win the cup, I mean, so be it. But I'm really kind of hoping that they don't. But as for Vegas, I mean, it's going to be a tough ask. They got to go into the Bell Center down 3-2 tonight to try and face off and get this game and send it back to Vegas for game 7. If they can win that, they obviously stand any chance of winning game 7 at home. They've played pretty well at home. I really think that if Vegas can pull off the win tonight in game 6, they definitely have a chance. But the biggest thing with Vegas, their forward group has basically done nothing in this playoffs. Well, at least in this round, I should say. Like, Max Pacioretty scored his first of the round last game, and that he's the only forward that has scored for the Vegas Golden Knights. And that includes a guy like Mark Stone and a guy like William Karlsson and so many others that just haven't stepped up and have just been completely suffocated and shut down by the Habs. I mean, I give full credit to the Habs. Their defense, their goaltending with Carey Price, he has turned on the Jets and played absolutely unbelievable. I won't be surprised if the Habs win this at home in front of their home fans. If they do, everybody just needs to have a prayer sent out for the city of Montreal, because they've been having crazy parties out in front of the Bell Center after every win in these playoffs. And if they win and move on to the Stanley Cup finals, it's going to be 100 times worse. The streets of Montreal will be lined with riot police. The cops will be out in full force. I think it's going to be an absolutely crazy scene in downtown Montreal tonight if Montreal does pull off the win and moves on to the Stanley Cup finals. So we will see. What do you think, Zach?
Well, I think Montreal really has a solid core working against Vegas. You know, Kotkaniemi and Suzuki are so good out there for being so young. And who can forget Caulfield? These guys could be a serious threat to build around, I think. And Seems like Montreal and Tampa are really good at adapting to their opponents, covering their guys, playing really well defensively and offensively. I agree with you that saying Montreal fans are going to explode on the streets outside Bell Center if they go to the finals. Oof, I shudder to think about what kind of footage we're going to see. But looking forward, I wanted to talk about some free agency stuff and get your thoughts on maybe where some highlight players are going to go and where our Sens players are going to go. So, Eric, do you think Dougie Hamilton is going to be overpaid in his next contract, or do you think he's going to be just regularly paid?
I mean, in my opinion, Dougie Hamilton is a great defenseman, but I really think that if someone is going to sign him or however it works out with his next contract, I don't think it's going to be anything extraordinary. He hasn't really proven anything to be given a huge contract. That being said, there are a lot of players in the NHL that haven't proven themselves, but still get these massive contracts. I'm looking at you, Toronto. It's just one of those things. I really don't see anybody overpaying for him, but only time will tell.
Alex Ovechkin, stay or is he going to go?
Oh, he's staying.
Ryan Getzlaf, do you think he's going to have the Mantha effect going from a bad team to a good team?
I can see that. I mean, Getzlaf definitely should be a lot better than he has been.
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Tyson Barrie, two very big players in Edmonton's core. Are they going to stay?
I don't think so. I think Edmonton has to figure out something. They got swept in the first round. It's an embarrassment in Edmonton. They need to figure it out.
And what about Krejci and Rask? Those two are pretty shaky at this point. Krejci says he might go to Europe and Rask might retire altogether. What do you think about those guys?
Yeah, I won't be surprised if they're gone. I think there will be a bit of a shakeup in Boston. They lost to the Isles in round two. And I really think that there's going to be a big shakeup in Boston.
And just a real quick thing, Marian Hossa's contract finally ends this year. Do you think any players are going to sign him or any teams are going to sign him?
No, I don't think so, because he's already basically fully retired and there's no way in heck that he's going to make a return to the NHL with the medical condition that caused him to retire early.
So I agree. That was just more of like a fun NHL fact there. But I want to talk about the Sens. They have some UFAs coming up and some restricted free agents. So, Eric, I want to get your quick thoughts on if the Sens should potentially keep them or drop them. So Artem Anisimov, 9 points in 19 games. He's 33. Would you keep or would you drop?
I mean, Artie Party is fantastic to watch. He brings a lot of energy, but I don't think he will last with this team. I think he's gone.
Ryan Dzingel, he made his grand return. Do you think he's going to stay?
I really hope so. I that's all I can say is I really hope that Dzinger sticks around.
What about Matthew Pekka? He played 5 games with the Sens, got 1 assist, and he got 11 points in 21 games with the B Sens.
I think he might stay with the organization, but I would expect him to be more of a big part of the B Sens than the actual Sens.
All right. And lastly, our restricted free agents, man, Victor Mete. Do you think we should work for him?
Yes. Yes. Victor Mete was an absolutely incredible addition to the team. I was happy when we got him, and I really hope that they figure out something for him.
Marcus Hogberg?
I mean, it's tough. There's so many goalies in our organization. It's going to be really interesting to see with the expansion draft with Seattle and everything coming up. I would like to see Hogberg stay. He can play really well when he's healthy.
Logan Brown?
I know a lot of people have said this before, but I really think that Logan Brown, that tie needs to be cut, because he clearly hasn't proven himself yet, and he's been with the organization for so long.
All right, Eric, and this is it. The holy trinity of restricted free agents in my eyes. Philip Gustafson, Drake Batherson, and Brady Tkachuk. Who are we keeping?
Hopefully all three. Gus has been played. He played really, really well in the games that he did play down the stretch. Batherson, you can't get rid of Bath Time. Like, Bath Time has just been unbelievable. He is a fire underneath the players. He gets everything going. And what can you say about Brady Tkachuk? Brady Tkachuk, if they don't figure out something long-term with him, I will be shocked. I personally think that Brady Tkachuk, they'll get him signed for a long, long-term contract, a big contract, and then they will give him the C. I think he will be the next captain of your Ottawa Senator.
That's a great take, Eric. I definitely agree. I think we're going to definitely see Tkachuk get the C finally. And I'm super looking forward to seeing some moves that our GM and coach are going to be making this offseason. Now, looking forward in our next segment, we're going to be hearing from some Blackjack players firsthand, their thoughts on what the season is going to look like and how their gameplay is going to look like this year. So stick around for that. Eric worked very hard, and these interviews are definitely worth listening to. So don't go away. This is the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Thank you so much for tuning in. You're just in time for hearing some firsthand interviews from some players and members of the Blackjacks organization. Our main man, Eric, here secured some interviews for us. Eric, who are we listening to this week?
Yeah, I had the immense honor to be able to have a chat after some of the training camp sessions over the last week with the head coach, the assistant coach, Patrick Ewing Jr., the GM, Javon Shepherd, and a few of the players from Joel Friesen to Chris Joseph to Eric Kibbe and Ryan Wright. So let's have a listen to some of the audio that I was able to get this week and get the take of what they thought, how they thought training camp has gone.
What has kind of been the general feel of camp so far in regards to the atmosphere, the enthusiasm so far for the players?
I think from that standpoint, it couldn't be better, honestly. I think we have a great group of guys to start with, so we kind of expected the atmosphere to be positive, but I think like the leadership that some guys have and the experience that they have, they're sharing the wealth, and it just creates a very positive vibe and a great context for us to work in. So like really thrilled with that from the first few days.
Now the other question I have would be like, if what players, if any, in regards to veterans or even the young guys, have really exceeded your expectations through 3.5 days of training camp so far?
It's always a tricky question to answer, because like you don't want to come in with too many you know, set in stone expectations and that kind of stuff. I mean, there's some players that obviously have a track record that speak for themselves, especially like with an experienced group like ours, and players like Earl Callaway, who've played in EuroLeague for so many years, and it's just good to see him back out there at the age of 37. And you know, we all knew what a guy like Nick Ward, who had a really good stint in the G League and a good college career at Michigan State, you know, they'd be able to go, and they've done some good things. But we've also seen some really good things from the younger guys and the Cadre Grays of the world, and you know, some of the CBL players that were fixtures, the Kyle Johnsons, Joel Friesen. So there would be a lot of guys to put in that category. It's just good to see the guys battling it out. I think they're happy to be back. And like I said, we didn't come in with like a rotation set in stone. We're just still evaluating them, and just every day we're learning a little more about each and every guy on that team. So I think we're going to learn some more in the next few days and probably have a better idea in 3 or 4 days.
Now, do you have any like real kind of expectations going forward through the rest of training camp as to what you're really looking for from the players?
Just basically getting better every day. You know, it's a short season, so you really have to make the most out of every day. But, you know, we're there. This is day 4, and I think we're better than we were on day 3 or day 2. We just got to keep building, because the first game is happening very fast, so it's coming at you. You got to get ready for that. But you also have to keep in mind that you just want to keep getting better and better in order to be able to compete when the real games, you know, will be coming in August, and you want to have a shot at, you know, getting to the playoffs and eventually winning. So I think you can only focus on today, and you never know in this pandemic world, you know what can happen, and you have to expect the unexpected. But I do think that if we do get better every day, things will just take care of themselves.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm with Coach Patrick Ewing Jr. Being the son of someone like Patrick Ewing, who had such an illustrious career, what kind of stuff did your dad teach you after or during his amazing career that you have been able to transfer into coaching?
Honestly, the main thing was just to work hard, to be honest with you, just to continue to keep grinding, and you're never done learning. So, you know, as an assistant coach, you're never done learning, and you're trying to instill what you do know into the players. So I just continue to work as hard as I can every day, so that way I get our guys ready for the games.
What kind of mood has camp had so far, and like, how are you noticing like players pushing each other? What kind of like chemistry has been formed so far with some of the players?
I think the chemistry has been fantastic, to be honest with you. For a group that hasn't been together at all, to come in here and in a week, you know, from day one, the guys have been very lively. They've been energetic. They've been talkative. They've been friendly with each other. There hasn't been any bumping of the heads and anything like that. Like, so for me, I've been very pleasantly surprised with the way that things have gone for the guys. They've been, you know, nothing short of amazing so far with how they've been reacting to each other and the coaching that they've been getting.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, man.
So I'm here with Jovan, the general manager. What's your take so far on camp and how everybody's kind of blending together and meshing with as a team?
It's been good. I mean, it's been tough on the guys. Obviously, it's a short training camp. You get thrown into the fire. You know, some guys are coming from their, you know, their winter season from overseas. Some guys have been home. Some guys were playing here. So there's, you know, guys that come from different points in their season or their career. And then, you know, our coaches had do a good job of balancing that, which is tough in a short period and obviously a shorter season, because you don't have time to implement, you know, 30 different defensive sets or 30 different offensive sets. You don't have time to get guys into shape. So there's been a commitment from the players. There's been a commitment from our coaches, which you have to commend them for. And I like what I've seen. It's been a cohesive unit. Guys have played together. And they've gotten better. They've been excited to get better every day, day after day. So with that, you know, with that said, you really can't ask for much more out of a group.
And lastly, having kind of rebuilt the entire team from the ground, including like the coaching staff and stuff like that, what has been your biggest surprise, I guess, or your take on the coaching so far and how they've got the players to really work together and that kind of thing?
Just a big balance. I think it goes far beyond just the coaches. I think when you look at our interns, when you look at the support staff, when you look at, you know, everybody that's been, you know, carried, that's a big part of everything here. It's such a cohesive unit from top all the way on to bottom, and everybody plays a role. You know, even the guy that turns the lights on and off in TD plays, everybody's a part of this family, this group, this unit that we have going here. So, you know, if I could say I was impressed with one thing, is how everybody has bought into the philosophy, bought into everything that we want, and it's you know, we before me.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, I'm here with Eric Kibbe. As an Ottawa-born player and one of the vets, what is your feeling heading into the home opener tomorrow?
It's a good feeling. I think we had a really good training camp. Guys really came together. We executed everything that coach wanted to get in, and I think a lot of the guys are just really excited. You know, after getting after it two times a day for 8 days, I think it'll be nice to go up against somebody else. So.
And how have you been improving during camp, and what have you been able to teach some of the young guys to look for as the season approaches?
For me personally, I've just been working on my shooting, to be honest. Just been trying to get as much shots up as possible and just trying to learn different positions so I can be versatile and kind of help the team in many different ways. And as far as helping the younger guys, just kind of nothing really, just setting an example, a quiet example, just being professional, just getting your work in, and I think that's the best that I can bring, you know?
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yes.
All right, I'm here with Chris Joseph. As a veteran on the team, what has impressed you during camp about the team and coming together and everything?
The amount of unselfishness that was displayed. You know, you come into a training camp, we're about 13, 14 guys, and more times than not, guys know they have a little limited amount of time to showcase what they can give to the team. And, you know, that usually leads to a couple selfish plays, which isn't terrible, right? But coming into training camp, we didn't see that for 1 second, you know? We've been playing unselfish basketball. We've been having fun doing it. Coach put in his philosophies, and we executed them. And that's a beautiful thing to see. As a young player, as a veteran, that's how you want to play basketball. You know, you want guys to be sharing the ball. You want to take joy playing the game of basketball and not having a ball stopper, et cetera. So every detail, every philosophy that Coach was able to put in, we've been able to apply, to our offensive schemes and our defensive schemes, and it's looking really good. You know, at the end of training camp today, this was the last day, I couldn't be more happy about how it went.
And what has been something that you've been able to help the rookies or the young guys with during camp?
You know, just little things that I see. Little things that I see, whether it be spacing, making the right reads. And the best thing about our young guys is that they're willing to listen. You know, they ask questions, which is something I didn't do too often when I was a young player. I felt like maybe if I ask a question, they might judge me or whatever the case is. And we're encouraging these young fellas to ask as many questions as they can, because at the end of the day, us as veterans, we have so much knowledge. You know, we've played at so many different levels, and it would be selfish of us to keep all that knowledge to ourselves, right? So sharing that stuff with the young guys and them being able to take heed and listen and execute, it's a beautiful thing. They ask questions and they execute what we ask them. So for me, like I said, to answer the question, just little things, technical things, little details that I can help them with that can make a huge difference is what I try to do.
And what has been the most challenging part as a veteran who's been through several training camps of a short training camp, condensed training camp like this?
Man, nothing. Honestly, from top to bottom, I've been saying this, I feel like I'm on repeat, but top to bottom, from GM to medical staff to the people that we have here, the interns, everybody has made this training camp so smooth and seamless. So there hasn't been anything really difficult. We've been practicing twice a day, which obviously could be tiring at times, but we needed it, right? At the end of the day, we found the right balance between work and rest. We have a great medical staff with Adrian, and we have a great strength and conditioning staff with Joey and Alex. So everything has been great for us so far.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
No problem.
I'm here with Ryan Wright. As a vet on this team, what would you say has been the biggest shock of the training camp so far?
I'll say the biggest shock, and this is not a shock in a bad way, this is a good shock, is how well we've been able to come together so fast. You know what I mean? I knew that guys would be able to buy in and be able to adapt quickly, but the rate at which we've done it so far is amazing to me, and I think that's a really good sign, especially being a short CBL season. Whichever team is going to adapt and adjust and gel quickest is probably going to be one of the teams that are on top, so I like our chances seeing that.
And what has been one of the challenges for you with the short training camp?
I would probably say one of the challenges for me was just really making sure I really did a great job at recovering and taking care of my body and making sure I'm ready to go 100% every day. I think in these kind of settings where it's a quick, short training camp, quick, short season, whichever team can also do the best job at recovering and being smart with their bodies is also going to be a team that has a great advantage. So as a veteran, especially a veteran coming off of a European season before this, I think the biggest thing of my mindset was just making sure I did the right thing, doing the right things to take care of my body. You know, coming in early, getting with the training staff, if I ever need anything, letting them know early, putting the extra work in to kind of get my body going for practice. So I think for me, that's going to be a main focus for me going forward in this season.
And what are you most looking forward to for the home opener tomorrow, other than being able to obviously play somebody other than teammates?
I'm looking forward to this professional basketball being back on Canadian soil. I mean, the Raptors this year had to play in Tampa. As Canadians, we haven't really had a whole lot of sports in our country. So I'm looking forward to just being one of those first professional sports teams to really get things going back in Canada, and hopefully things can start to improve during this summer and we can really get sports back and fans back in the stands soon, hopefully. And yeah, just really get things back to normal. So I'm looking forward to that.
And as a veteran, what would having fans in the stands give you? Like, what kind of juice would it give you guys, knowing that you have some home fans behind you?
Oh, it'd be amazing because from what we hear, Ottawa's a sports city. You know, it's unlike, I grew up in the GTA, and it's unlike the GTA in that everyone is really just focused in on Ottawa sports teams, where, you know, in the GTA you kind of have a lot going on, and Ottawa is like a smaller version of the GTA, whereas it's almost like a college town atmosphere, right? So I've heard from a lot of people who've been to Ottawa, like, this is one of the places you want to play sports. So if we had fans here, I think I would really be able to really feel that 100%, you know, that support, that community support around the sports team. So hopefully we will see how the summer goes. But, you know, until then, we're just going to do our best to try to represent the city the best we can.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So nothing but good news from these guys. I am 10 times more excited for the game tonight, Eric. Thank you so much for getting those for us.
Yeah, no problem. It was a absolutely amazing time. The guys were very, very willing to just take a few minutes to stand there and chit chat and get some of this audio for us, because they're just happy that there are people willing to cover the team. They want the team to be part of the community. So it was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to being at the game tonight, hopefully.
Well, the Press Box is the Blackjacks' number one fan as of right now. So really looking forward to seeing the boys out there tonight. And looking ahead, we have our next segment, the Press Box Playmakers. So don't go away for that. We got a lot to make up for this week. This is the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Boom. There you go. Make it extra. Make it extra, man. That's awesome. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
We are back here for our final segment of the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. And Zach, this is the segment that everyone tunes in for. It's all about sports betting. You are our guru. And Zach, I know you followed this quite significantly, and there was some huge news out of the province of Ontario and Canada for that matter recently about legalized gambling. What's going on with that?
Our main man, Kevin Waugh, over in Saskatoon and Grasswood, helped pass this bill. It's called the Safe and Regulated Sports Betting Act. And it was officially passed this Tuesday. Now, what that means is Canadians can soon bet any amount of money they want on just one game. Previously, somebody has played on the OLG sports betting thing before. You have to do a minimum of 3 bets just to actually participate. So get ready to see people dropping $5,000 on games next season. I guarantee we're going to see some of that. The bill was passed without amendment by a vote of 57-20 with 5 people abstaining. Trudeau and the Liberal government are going to decide on a date when this is going to take effect. But looking forward, I think this could be good. I don't know. Could also be bad. You know, we could see people losing their mortgages now, but what else is new? Looking forward, maybe we're going to see some more people tuning into the Press Box now that people are going to be betting more on sports. But right now we got to go into this Press Box Playmakers segment, because once again, we're at DEFCON 1, right? We're at 500 again. We went 1-3 last week. We're 26-26 after 14 episodes. It's been a pretty unlucky week, so we really need a bounce back win here. Otherwise, we're going to walk out of this empty handed. And by the gambling gods, I will not let that happen, Eric. I can't bet on the Islanders and Lightning game because it could be over by the time this episode airs. So for this week, we're only going to get one hockey bet. I'm sorry. Let's get started. Our money line this week is for Friday night's game against the Bucks and the Hawks. Now, the Bucks did the impossible and found a way to overcome Kevin Durant and the other All-Stars from the Brooklyn Nets. And now they find themselves against Trae Young and the Hawks. Now, Trae Young took out the 76ers, but I think it's going to be tougher to do that against the Bucks team, who have some pretty large players who can shut them down. My money line this week is favoring the Bucks stomping out the Hawks. And now for my over-under pick, I'm going with Montreal and Vegas. I can't believe it's come to this, and I thought for sure we'd see a 4-2 Golden Knights victory by now. But here we are, and I got to say the goaltending has been the highlight of this series. No matter who's in net, the forwards on both teams are constantly looking up at the lights, whether Price, Leonard, or Fleury make a wicked save. Now, the over-under has been good to us lately, and I'm betting on the goaltending to be a highlight once again in this game. Every game in this series has been under 5.5. Let's keep the streak alive. My over-under pick this week is for Montreal and Vegas to score under 5.5 goals between them. Now, for the handicap and spread pick, I'm going with the NBA once again, with the Suns covering the spread of -2.5 against the Clippers. This one's tough because both games have been pretty close, but I think Phoenix has the roster depth to cover LA pretty well at this point. And being without Kawhi is such a handicap as well. I say that's enough for Devin Booker and the Suns to pull off a comfortable win. My handicap spread pick for this week is the Phoenix Suns covering a minus 2.5 spread against the LA Clippers. Now, for the bonus pick of the week, Eric, you're going to love this one. It's the Jays, money line versus the Orioles. I'm hoping the Jays start their comeback tour here. They got to start somewhere, and they have to start being more consistent with the pitching, as our teacher Dan Mellon believes. And I think this game is going to be where it starts to happen. We beat the Orioles twice last week, so why can't we do it again? They're doing worse than us, so this game is not an option to lose. My bonus pick for this week is Toronto Blue Jays beating the Baltimore Orioles in today's game. Eric, what do you think of these picks, man?
I really think that your picks are solid this week. The Vegas-Montreal game, I think it will be a very low-scoring game because both goalies will be looking to either extend the series or finish off the series and just try and avoid allowing too many goals. As for the basketball ones, bang on. I really think that both those games are going to be absolutely incredible. And as for the Jays, they need to start winning. And like you said, the pitching needs to figure it out. I know Dan Mellon has been very, very adamant about how bad the bullpen has been this year. So I'm hoping that they figure it out and they can get past the one team that's actually worse than them in the division. So I think we could possibly do very, very well this week, Zach.
You know, people in Canada have been clamoring for single sports betting for a long time. And I've been clamoring for another perfect week since episode 4. We're on episode 15. Something's got to give.
Yeah, it definitely has to. And I think that we might have something special here this week. So fingers crossed. And as for the single sports betting, I know a lot of people will be really happy once that actually becomes a thing. Because I know I've gone into games where I've gone to do a pro line bet and I'm like, I really don't want to pick that third game, but I have to. And it's backfired in the end because I was really hesitant about which team to pick and I picked the wrong team. So I'm really looking forward to actually being able to be like, I'm going to put $10 down on this one game and that's it. I don't have to worry about trying to pick multiples. So that'll be fun. But that does it for this week's episode. Episode 15 of the Press Box. And Zach, I know the last couple weeks it's just been you and I, but it's been a blast and I'm so looking forward to the rest of this summer, all of our fun episodes we have coming up with Blackjacks, Atletico Ottawa both getting started this week, and so much more to come, including the Red Blacks and everything else, the Seattle Kraken expansion draft, the NHL draft. There's so much exciting stuff happening this summer, so stick around. This has been the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. I'm Eric Fox, and with me, Zach Natto. Have a great night, everyone.
Eric, that was the best outro you've ever done, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was really good. All right, cool.